Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening. Welcome. And again, I always say good evening. I know it's the afternoon there, but just good evening and welcome to the show. And Matthew is here with us, so we've got the technology right. Yay! he's going to say hello too. Carry on, Matthew, sorry.
Yeah, hello everybody, hope everybody's well. Really looking forward to the show. I know it's going to be a real good one. We'll bring up some stuff for people, that's for sure. So anyway,
Matthew and I were just discussing before we came on air that I sent out a newsletter today, and the newsletter basically was saying, I'm coming out of the closet. And, you know, it's amazing. If you want to send out an email that people are going to open, you need a good strap line like that. What closet they thought I was coming out of, I have no idea. It was basically to announce that, you know, I'm a spiritual entrepreneur, and, you know, very much part of that is looking at helping people grow up emotionally. And, you know, in the write up that I said is that, you know, human beings are collectively very emotionally immature. And there's this thing called emotional intelligence, which I know we've spoken to you before about, but it hasn't been prioritized within humankind. And we've tended to focus on our scientific, our physical, mental and technology. And we've been neglecting our emotional development. And, you know, if you look at it and realize that if we taught every child how to be deeply compassionate with themselves and others, and we showed them how to grow emotionally intelligent, they would keep their hearts open more. And they would be more compassionate in all of their relationships and therefore have a much healthier and more fulfilling life. And bringing the importance to not just the family, but the community, and expanding that out to the entire human family. You know, there's nothing wrong with being committed to our own personal needs, meeting those needs. But far too many of us stop right there and don't look at the community as a whole. And, you know, most of us don't know our neighbours. So what about the people who are living on the other side of the world that we've never met? You know, if we could extend our sense of compassion and responsibility to all forms of life and even the future generations, you know, most of the pressing problems that humanity has created, then it, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And we need to shift our consciousness to what is needed most. You know, if we could shift the patterns of selfishness and greed to patterns of compassion and generosity and love, we would resolve most of the problems that the earth is facing. And when you actually look at that and take it even further, you know, we could reverse climate change. We could, you know how to prevent war. We could feed the hungry. We could build ecologically sustainable societies. And we could transform politics, which I won't go into, but it sounds like that, you know, it looks like in the UK we're going to have a blonde prime minister soon. So, you know, for the good of the country, I hope he engages his brain before he starts his new job. So, you know, fear and doubt has gripped our collective human psyche for far too long. So, you know, one of the things that Times Radio very kindly asks for is what did I want as the title of this show? And very much for me, the thing that comes up into my mind is how would you like to have an impact in the world? How would you, you know, if you got your emotional intelligence sorted out, what would you like to create in the world? And, you know, if you know anything about the law of attraction, what you pay attention to, especially what you pay attention to with a significant emotion, you attract. So what can we do individually and collectively so that we can eradicate fear and doubt from the future of humanity? And for me, it's a call to action. It really is a call to action of what can we do? How can we individually make an absolute impact and difference? So I just wanted to hand over a little bit to Matthew, because I'm sure he has a slightly different take on this than I do. So Matthew, you ready to chat?
Yeah, it's interesting. Just while you were talking, had some sort of stuff come in, and it is a very much a global issue. We all, if you ask most people on the street, they would say that they care about the environment and that sort of thing. But and I would say myself. But actually, I think at the same time, I'm talking to myself as well. We could all be doing more as a collective. It's almost like if an alien came down and asked us to list how we think human beings have evolved and done well, we could come up with 100 amazing inventions and technological advances, and we could say, well, we've been to the moon and we've explored space. And then if they asked you the question, oh, you've done this, all these amazing stuff, that must mean that there's no hungry humans on the earth and that everybody's happy. And it's so far from the truth. And I think you get lost in all the technologies, all the things we create are almost bringing us further away from what truly matters. If we were all to write on a piece of paper, if you could only ever have two things in your life, what would they be? And it would be, for me, joy and love, because they're the only two things that really matter. And I think it's the way we've developed as human beings, with all this. I mean, the phones spring to mind. So many people out there spend their lives on their phone. And it used to be, if you were waiting for a train or waiting at a bus stop or even just walking down the street, you'd bump into somebody and just spark a conversation. We've lost that. We don't have that. And we don't have that closeness. And actually, the further away or the more we cut ourselves off with using our phones all the time and not talking to people, the more we yearn for it, because actually that's what makes us human, that having that connection with somebody. And it's sad that a lot of people are missing it, because I mean, I've made so many friends on the way to work, may have been sitting on a train and you just spark a conversation and all of a sudden the hour train journey's gone. And you've met someone that actually you're going to know for the rest of your life. And it's like we've made it too complicated for ourselves in so many ways.
I couldn't agree with you more.
On a global scale, you look at indigenous tribes, and you would watch a program, and a lot of people would say, "Oh, they've got nothing." Well, actually, they've got everything, and they would probably look at us and say exactly the same.
It was very interesting. Sorry, Matthew. It's very interesting. About 2 or 3 years ago, I had an amazing experience of working with some Peruvian shaman, and which was a fantastic experience. But one of the things that really interested me more than anything else was Lev sharing with me when I had picked them up and was driving them somewhere. And that Javier, who is a fantastic shaman in Peru, basically shared that before he'd come to the UK, he didn't really understand what stress was. And then he shared with me the story of going from Heathrow into the centre of London. He said, "I suddenly realised what stress was because of the way that the people were driving." And he had the experience of driving around the M25, which is the orbital route around London. And he said, "Now I understand why the Westerners get so messed up in their heads." He says, "If you have to contend with that on a daily basis," he said he would be stressed. And I couldn't help laughing, because one of the things obviously that he showed me and shared was how tight-knit their community is in their small village in the Amazon. And his wife, Jessica, who was also a shaman and was on the same trip as him, had left a 6-month-old baby son with the village, knowing that he was going to be 100% supported and 100% looked after. And she was very, very confident to travel and not bring him with her. And I looked at that and I just thought, wow, in the Western world, especially in the UK, and I'm sure in the United States, you wouldn't have that big extended family supporting you unless, of course, all the family were living in America, because an awful lot of people have left their homelands and made America their new home, and they don't take their extended family with them. So there could be family members in Europe, and it was this whole feeling of community which was really incredible to me, because my own family, I was brought up with four siblings, so it was a large family. But my father moved from the north of England to London for work, and obviously the whole family came with him. So we didn't have the extended family of grandparents and aunts and uncles and etc. So it can be very isolating, the way that we choose to live in the developed world. And one of the things, as Matthew was actually saying, is it's amazing how many people become so lonely and feel so isolated when, they walk out of their homes. And, they don't even look up and recognise that maybe the neighbour's there too. And if they do, because they're in a rush to get wherever they're going, they don't necessarily stop and have a conversation. And one of the things that I think technology is definitely making us poorer in our communication skills, because we tend to send things by text or email or, other means. And we forget to actually talk to people and sit down and actually actively listen to people. And I think this also has led to how emotionally immature we are as a species, is because we just don't connect anymore on a meaningful level. And, you know, it's really, really important for us to do that if we want to impact the world on a global level. And, you know, each of us can do that in our own ways. You know, we have our own unique genius. And if we bring that to the party is so much more fulfilling, because everybody is having an input and everybody can engage with things that interest them and make them passionate. So, you know, again, I've been chatting a long time, so I want to give Matthew a chance to have his input too.
Yeah, I think we're close to a break, so I'm not going to get too heavy. But I think it's ultimately what how can we solve this problem? It's all very well us telling you that we can do it, but it's how do we do it on our own level? And I think it's very much about taking responsibility for your stuff, whether it's clearing out your emotional baggage or just making a general effort, more of an effort, and just to communicate with people more, very much on the emotional side of things. I think there's a lot of good tools out there. My favourite is obviously breath, the life breath work, which is the fastest, most effective way I know of clearing out your emotions. And very much with the, as Penny was saying, with the law of attraction earlier, a lot of people try it and they maybe get one or two things come in and think, oh, that's really good, I'm going to go for something big. And then they don't necessarily get what they ask for and make it wrong and say, well, it didn't work. But actually what they're getting is a lesson. So yeah, I think we're about to go into a break, so we'll continue this on the other side.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
So I just want to start off. I just want to start off with throwing you a question. So the question basically is if you knew you were going to succeed at whatever you did, what would you do or be? So just repeating that, if you knew you were going to succeed at whatever you did, what would you do or be? And, you know, it's one of those questions that allows you to open up, because we have a tendency to think small because we feel small. And when we feel small, we don't see the possibilities. And we don't understand that nothing is impossible. And when you really get that, that what would you do or be if you were limitless, you know, and you were going to succeed at whatever you decided to do, it allows your imagination to come in, and your imagination is where we are creative. And then we can get in touch with our passion. So the second question would be, if you knew you had £100 million or dollars in the bank, what would you do or be? So again, repeating that, if you knew you had £100 million or dollars in the bank, what would you do or be? And again, that is one of the areas that we tend to limit ourselves with, is because we suddenly think, could I do this course? Could I have that vacation? Can I support my children? Have I got a college fund for them? You know, yakka, yakka, yakka. And immediately we go, well, we can't do that, because we don't have the finances. And we shut the door on so many different possibilities. So I've got one third question for you. If you knew you only had 6 months left to live, what would you do or be? And I'll repeat the question. If you knew you only had 6 months left to live, what would you do or be? And again, this blasts open so many closed doors. And, you know, the doors are only in our conscious mind. And our conscious mind is a very, very small percentage of the capacity of our mind. It is only 10%. And that 10% just slams the door shut on so many different opportunities and so many different, risks. It looks at risks and is, always looking at it and going, oh, well, if I do that or if I risk this, then I can't do that. Whereas in fact, that's not very good thinking, you know. It's really important for us to realise and maybe take a leaf out of, you know, the yogis of mind, where they think, you know, we've all heard the saying, I think, therefore I am. And I was doing some reading earlier on today and just looking at what, the yogis are actually really looking at. And they were actually looking at basically, and they would say, stop thinking and then you really know I am. You know, so they're basically saying to you, get out of your conscious mind, the one that has the limits, and actually just be. And if you just be, you suddenly realize that you are this immense, huge, energetic being who has no limitations. So it's very much looking at all of those things and realizing that we can actually manifest anything. And for me, as you heard at the beginning of the show, was just changing, you know, the messaging that I'm putting out to the world of being not feeling like I've had an enormous impact, although I do understand that I have. but it's with hundreds of people. And actually, what I would like to do is have impact for thousands or tens of thousands of people and say, don't be afraid of your own magnificence, because that's one of our biggest fears, is that, you know, if we are magnificent, how would we have to be to show other people that we are fearless? So again, handing back to Matthew, and allowing him some time.
Yeah, I think we're our own worst enemies in so many ways, because we spend most of our time in our conscious mind, and all that generally does is rationalizes about situations. And I think throughout time, it'd be interesting to know when the flip happened in history, because I remember, I mean, my childhood sort of, I would say in the 80s, kids used to play in the street, everybody knew each other, none of the parents worried about where any of the kids were in the neighbourhoods, because one phone call and everyone would know they're all right, it wouldn't matter which house they were at, that sort of thing. And I remember people were just more positive back then. We had more optimism. And it's almost like, or my reference is sort of like, since the 80s, whether it's the technology that we've created or what it is, I don't know, but it's like we've just disconnected from what we would call the oldie worldie, where people used to talk and we used to get on and that sort of thing. And I think it very much the technology's halted us very much, and we've lost that connection. And through losing that connection with human beings within your life, your daily life, you lose connection on a global scale. So people don't care about driving around in big engines, cars that are gas guzzlers that are harming the environment, and we're all living for ourselves. So it's in business, you see a lot of dog eat dog, everybody's out for the money, and there's this whole thing around what is this need for money. I mean, it's nice to have things and have security and that sort of thing, but we're on a global race to earn as much money as we can, and we die with nothing, and we can't take anything with us. So even if you became a billionaire, you wouldn't be able to spend it in your lifetime anyway. So a lot of our greed and that need for money is a huge global problem. I mean, you've got billionaires living next to people that can't afford to eat and that sort of thing. And it's that we're too focused on money and sort of trying to advance in ways that actually are taking us further away from being human and having that experience in your daily life. I mean, the rat race, we call it the commute to London. It's like a full on fight. I mean, you have to be an MMA fighter just to get into work most days. Something I don't do these days, but I used to commute. And I mean, people would look at you strange when you say hello to them in the morning. Like that's a strange thing, and it's everyone's out to get each other, everyone wants to get through the turnstiles first. And when you think of the behavior that people are so hooked up on getting to work because they can't be late and that sort of thing, and it's kind of like what kind of world do we live in when we're creating all these problems? It's like, oh, we've got to do this and we've got to do that, and we put ourselves under so much pressure in our daily lives that I think we could be spending that time a lot better off. Like I say, if everybody made a little bit more effort to speak to people, and even just down to the environmental stuff, so everybody recycle and do the things that we should. There's a campaign that's going on around England at the moment, which is it's like a very much like a challenge. It's like every time you go to the beach in the summer, take 3 items of litter that aren't yours home with you, and the beach will be cleaner. And it's when you read, or for me, when I read that, really powerful, because actually it wouldn't take a lot. If we all made a little bit more effort, the impact we could make would be absolutely huge. I know there's a lot of your younger generation. There's a young girl, I can't remember her surname, called Greta, and she's doing huge things on the environmental side of things. And I remember watching one of her videos, and she was saying that when she was very, I think 7 or 8, don't quote me on the ages, but said to her parents, I want to try and help climate control. And parents suggested that, well, stay in school and do that, and that's great, but if you want to do it, go for it. And I mean, she's in the Houses of Parliament speaking to people which we couldn't get a meeting with. And this is a young girl with just pure passion to make a change. And hasn't listened to the adults that told her that she couldn't do it and all of that stuff. She's got her message, she's strong on it, and she's going for it. And that little girl has helped change the world already. And I think what's important to remember is we can all do that. We all hold that potential.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's really important that, you know, as you said, every little helps. You know, I met somebody I live in the New Forest in the south of England, and it's a beautiful part of the world. And we were taking, I have a Golden Labrador, Jake's, and we were taking Jake's out. And we went to a local car park where, you know, obviously it's in the forest, so the car parks are not really attended by anybody, but it's just you draw off the road and you park. And there was a chap there who was basically walking around picking up litter from the car park. And, you know, we, as I said, we live in an area of outstanding beauty, and yet people think that, you know, they can throw their litter down and take no responsibility for taking their own litter home. And I walked up and I shook his hand, and because, you know, I do a similar thing whenever I'm walking through the forest. I will take a shopping bag with me, and I will pick up pieces of litter that are left there, obviously. And unfortunately, most people will just strew their litter. So it's all over the place. And it's just realizing that each piece of litter we pick up, you know, we're helping Mother Earth. Each thing that we spend maybe 30 or 40 seconds doing is helping, you know, us bring up the vibration of our own, you know, humanity's consciousness, because we are all connected. And yeah, I have no problem. Yes, sometimes I have had bad thoughts about people who drop litter, but also I have no problem. I've got 2 hands, 2 legs. I am, you know, I'm very willing to pick up after other people if that's what they need me to do. And I have no problem with putting it in my boot and throwing it in my bin when I get home. And it's realizing that if everybody just took responsibility from themselves, that would be real helpful. But if they took responsibility just to take that next action, we could actually help with climate change. We could actually help with making sure that we're living in a really abundant earth that we can all really appreciate and love. And, you know, we wouldn't stuff litter down our kids' trousers legs, or make them eat poison, or do anything else, you know. So it's actually really beginning to look at the entire human family, and looking at, you know, we haven't even started to talk about the third world, but it's, you know, begin to look at the area that you live in. And what can you do to help? And, you know, one of the things that the International Red Cross is actually promoting right here, right now, is doing something for somebody else And, you know, it's a great campaign, especially in the UK. It's a great campaign of, you know, what can you do? You know, we have so much time on our hands, although we say we are short of time, but we do have so much more time, you know, but we have a tendency to sit down in front of the TV, or we have a tendency to watch box sets or all sorts of different stuff, which is not helping our conscious minds or our emotional states. And, you know, we could be out there volunteering, maybe just to pick somebody up and take them to the hospital if they need a ride. But get out there, get involved with humanity, get involved with the human family, because that's how we actually grow emotionally. That's how we actually grow up emotionally, is to stop looking at just us and actually start looking at others. And once we start looking at each other and others and put ourselves into service for humanity, then we become enriched and fulfilled, and we start making a huge impact. And, you know, if more of us just do that, then, you know, there's that great film, Pay It Forward, of actually taking ourselves out of our own misery and realizing that we can be fulfilled in a much more, a much more positive way if we just stop thinking the world revolves around us, because that's what we have a tendency to do. And, you know, so, you know, that's what this show is about, is encouraging other people to know that their efforts will impact the world globally if only they would do something. So, again, handing back to Matthew for a minute. Oh, it's a break. So, obviously, we'll see you on the other side of the break and we'll continue to talk.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTechStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So, hi, we're back. And we've been talking about making an impact in the world and the need for us to engage as a member of humanity so that we can not only help others, but to grow ourselves through service. And it's a really important message, I feel. And maybe me coming out of the closet has helped me get more loquacious and articulate about it. So I just wanted to check in with Matthew again and see what his thoughts on this are before we move into the last section of the program.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize, I think unless you do a lot of deep emotional work and clearing around that, a lot of people feel as though they haven't got a lot to offer. So in the world of the rat race and everybody's sort of out to get each other, sort of money-wise, you almost lose that faith and lose that passion. And you can almost convince yourself that actually I haven't really got anything to give and that sort of thing. But I think what it needs more people to stand up and discuss these things to really make an impact and make people realize that everybody's special, but at the same time, nobody's special. Anybody can create something and be a part of something. There's no golden rule on this. Some of the most successful people are not the most intelligent, which shows you that intelligence is not necessarily the key to money. So I think it doesn't matter where you come from or what your life experience has been, you can make a huge impact on the world just by standing up and speaking out and sort of telling your story. Even just telling your story can inspire others to do the same. So I think it's putting the message out that everybody can make a difference, and we can make up many stories as to why we think we may not be able to do these things, but actually everybody has the same thoughts, everybody has those same feelings, it's just whether you act on them. So I think it's just important to put it out there to people that actually start talking, and if you really feel like you need to say something or have a conversation with someone, don't put it off. Be the person to make that first contact, whether it's charity work or whatever it is. If you see someone struggling and you think you can help them, that's how it starts. It starts by one person helping another, and then those people helping other people. Whereas if everyone's out to get each other, everybody keeps what they have close. Whereas if everybody's generous and helpful to each other, people let go of those, I've got to keep everything to myself, because actually you realise that collectively we're so much greater and we can be living better lives just by communicating with neighbours. And I mean, the classic when I was younger is you'd pop round the neighbours to borrow a cup of sugar or a pint of milk, and it would go without saying. Whereas if you knock on some of your neighbours' doors for that sort of thing today, you wouldn't necessarily get a great response. So I think it's the classic butterfly effect, the ripple effect.
I think it's also, I couldn't agree with you more, Matthew. It's the generosity of spirit. It's, you know, as you're saying, you know, you pop round to your neighbours for a cup of milk, a glass of milk or some sugar or whatever. Actually, you were just connecting with them. And, you know, it's actually having that chat and, you know, just even feeling, you know, within ourselves that it's perfectly okay just to pop round to someone's house to say hello. I think the glass of milk and the cup of sugar was just an excuse, really, to connect. And, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, is a disease of this world right here, right now, is loneliness. You know, people are lonely. They're lonely for that, you know, connection with another human, with another person, whether it's just talking about, you know, in the UK, we talk about the weather incessantly. Well, we're not really talking about the weather. We're just finding out how that person is. But it's always been acceptable in the UK to talk about the weather because it's not that great. Lots of rain. But, you know, it is what it is. And it's just making that effort to smile. You know, it reminds me of, you know, acts of random kindness, the Ark. What is it? Which one is it? It's not. It's the film. It's not God Almighty, but it's Bruce Almighty or what the other, the second one. I can't remember the name of the film. And it's, you know, acts of random kindness is one of the ways or one of the things that is fantastic to have in your mind, you know. In the UK, you know, when people go to the supermarket, it can be, especially if it's holiday season, and I know you guys are coming up to the 4th of July, it can be madness out there, you know, pushing and shoving, and it's, you know, just letting someone else go first, or getting them a trolley when you get a trolley, or, you know, whatever it is, it's just allowing people to say, oh. And the other person who receives that act of random kindness, it's a case of, oh, I was seen or I was heard, or that makes me feel so much better. And it's raising the vibration up of, you know, the whole community. When one person smiles, then it's infectious and the smiles go all round. You know, one of the things for me, and I know I get a lot of raised eyebrows, is, yeah, I will laugh. Yeah, if I find something funny, I will laugh. And, you know, my laugh can be quite loud and raucous on occasions. And it's, you know, how infectious that is. You know, people look at me when I stride through somewhere and go, that woman's a loony, but it makes them smile. And, you know, or they'll see me struggling with my 2.5-year-old and they'll smile and go, you know, we were in the forest the other day and Hector found an ice cream van and, you know, he loves ice cream. And it's just like, you know, he was going back and emotionally trying to blackmail the lady in the ice cream van to give him some more ice cream. And he was basically entertaining everybody in the forest until obviously myself and my husband had to physically remove him from the area. And then, of course, like any 2.5-year-old, he had a little bit of a colourful episode, I think the words are, where, well, he had actually pissy fit. To everybody else's amusement, because they basically could go, uh-huh, we've been there. You know, the family is just nodding and going, uh-huh, how old is he? Oh, 2.5. Yeah, well, you know, what do you expect? You know, he obviously exercising his will centres of wanting what he wanted when he wanted it. But then at 2.5 years old, he's entitled to have those types of colourful behaviour episodes, should I say. And it's just looking at it and realising that everybody was sympathetic and understanding of us. And it was really nice, because when people really connect on such a fundamental level, you know, you couldn't get better communication than that. And it's just real interesting. So I'm just going to hand back to Matthew so that he can set his last bits and pieces, because I would like to give you a prayer to hold in your heart before we close.
Great. Yeah, that little story reminded me of, I had one of these videos come up on Facebook, and it was family, I believe it was in America. There was a load of families sitting in the park, and the mother and father turned to the young daughter, she was probably maybe two, I said, right, we're going home now. And the two-year-old proceeded to hug about 20 people. And I really saw it from a different angle. It's as adults, we sat, they were probably sitting there as a family and engaging with each other. Whereas the little child that's interested in the lady's yellow bag and wandered over there and connected with her. And you know what kids are like, they're so inquisitive and their imaginations are on overdrive most of the time, and they have no problem engaging with anybody. And it really reminded me of that, where you saw this two-year-old had to say goodbye to everybody that she had connected to in the park before she left. And it was one of those sort of things you see kids do, and it just makes your heart melt, because you just think, well, if only we could be like that. And I think in so many ways you lose their, it's just their pure joy as an adult. We have to be sensible, and we've got to do things right, when actually we could be having a lot more fun. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're childish, but there's nothing wrong with being childlike. We did a lot of retreats in a big old manor house called Gaunt's House, and it had the most amazing polished floor within the ballroom. And people on the course were a little bit wary of having fun at the start, but by the end of it, people weren't walking across the room, they were sliding across the room. And this is adults of all ages and sexes and all sorts, and it was just the joy. And well, why walk when you can slide? And I think we've lost just that element of just having fun. I mean, that's ultimately what we're here to do. Life's a game. And we should enjoy it for what it is. There's positive and not so positive things in every situation, but it's taking them both and learning from them, but ultimately embracing the positive more, and having that childlike side, because I think it's really important. I think we've lost that as a planet, as a global thing. And again, it's just reminding ourselves of actually why we're here and what we're here to do, and what would you choose? Would you choose fun, or would you choose the opposite? We have choices. We can choose which experience we have. And the more of those experiences you have, the more will come in. So again, it's going back to the law of attraction, that sort of thing. Like attracts like. If you walk through the streets looking at the floor, it's a very different experience from looking up and engaging with people and seeing the amazing things around us. So I think that sort of rounds that off nicely.
Couldn't agree with you more again, Matthew. It's just stunning when you engage and when you live in the moment. You know, in those moments come miracles. And, you know, it's the juicy stuff of life. And, you know, as I said, you know, I wanted to definitely leave you with a thought. And so holding your in your heart, maybe this prayer: this day of my life will never come again. I will never see the sunrise again. I will never see the sunset again. I will never see the person I'm having breakfast with again, just this way. No, nothing in my life like this will ever come again. You know, when the moment is done, the moment is done, and everything changes. So it's allowing ourselves to actually be present for every single moment of the day, and trying not to distract ourselves with things that mean nothing, and actually allowing ourselves to be present, to be here, to look at those magic moments, to connect eye to eye with different people, and look at it and just go, okay. So first we need to grow up emotionally. You know, human beings are collectively very emotionally immature. So if we cannot do it for others, allow us to do it for ourselves so that we can grow emotionally. And therefore, we can hold the space for the rest of humanity to gain emotional intelligence. You know, as we said at the very beginning, it's something that our species has not prioritized. We think we know, and we need to get out of our conscious minds and actually dive into the rest of us so that we can be much more human. And therefore show by example to people, and we can teach our children to be deeply compassionate with themselves and others. We can teach them how to keep their hearts open. But unless we know where our own hearts are, we cannot possibly show our children and the younger generation. You know, that if we did that, all our relationships would be far more healthy and fulfilling. And, you know, therefore taking it out to the extended community and then the entire human family, where we actually deal with other people compassionately. So I hope you enjoy your week. We will be back next week. And in the meantime, take care.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Look forward to speaking to you next week. Take care.